The following program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
I dare you to pick out a destination of the finished works of Jesus Christ and watch the Holy Ghost show up, take you to that destination. And then there'll come a day where you'll say, there it is.
I'm a world changer.
Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
There is a battle that's going on between your ears. There's a battle that is going on to see if you will begin to walk in the finished, manifested works of Jesus Christ, or if you'll lose the battle of the mind and live your life wondering and asking the question, where is God? Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is something that we have to know about. There is a reason why certain things did not manifest, or there's a reason why certain things did not happen. And for the most part, when our mind is out of control and doesn't line up with the Word of God, it hinders us from receiving what Jesus has already finished. Most likely, a lot of times when we go to pray about things, Jesus has already finished those things. He's already done it. Every time you look at a situation in your life and you wonder, well, how am I going to handle this? Jesus has already got that covered. He's already taken care of it. And as I said to you before, He loves being trusted. He loves being for somebody to lean on Him and rely on Him and to trust Him. And what we've got to do is we've got to change the way we think about it. We've got to get our thinking renewed. We've got to get our minds renewed so that we'll find that our thinking is lining up with His way of thinking. And even though the Bible says in Isaiah 55 that our thoughts are not His thoughts and our ways are not His ways, the end of that says, but I gave you my word. And through that word, then you can begin to have His thoughts. And through His word, you begin to have His ways. But we cannot allow our lives to be dominated by thinking that's on the outside of the word, or thinking that doesn't line up with God. And if you don't find yourself thinking in line with the word, then you are thinking in line with something else. And that's the battle. That's where you're going to win it or lose it between years. Up here in the mind, the arena of faith, the place, the battleground, the place where victory is obtained in your life is based on how you think. And as a man thinketh, then in his heart, so is he. He is in his heart the way he thinks in his mind. And you can't change the way you live until you change the way you think. Things won't change in your life until you change the way you think. If you allow a wrong way of thinking to be traditionalized, you have a wrong way of thinking that you won't let go of, then neither will your life ever change and let go of certain things because your thinking hadn't changed. And so it's been one of these things Satan has been able to hide behind. He's been able to influence our way of thinking, and that's why I keep saying, now we've got to start thinking about what we're thinking about. We've got to become consciously aware of what we are thinking about. You know, there may be something going on at the end of the week, and it's something that concerns you at the end of the week. But it's Sunday today. Don't allow yourself to go to the end of the week today. Think about today. Think about today. Don't think about the end of the week. The end of the week already got enough for you to deal with at the end of the week. So don't go to the end of the week. Stay right here today. And today, count your blessings. And today, realize it's okay. Somebody says, but my rent due Friday. Yeah, but today, it ain't due. Today, you just fine. Today, today you don't have to hide your car. Today, you can answer your telephone. Today. Tomorrow has enough to deal with. And you just wouldn't believe the victory that can show up in your life just by getting your mind and your way of thinking just settled in today. Today I feel good. Today I have the joy of the Lord. Today everything gonna be all right. Today, whoever been harassing me to get the bill paid, they close this Sunday. Today. Today. Are you following what I'm saying? So there's this little thing that he's been doing, an irritating thing, where he's been blinding the minds so that certain things won't come to your awareness. And today I want to just look at and expose this little trickery of the devil. And if the Holy Ghost will let me, I'll be able to do it. But if not, we just keep, just let it roll. Amen. Now, let's look at some things here before we go to Second Peter. Let's look at just what we're talking about. Let's look at this title of this message, this objective, taming your mind. Well, to tame something, if you're going to tame something, that means to bring something under control. Get the perspective of a wild animal who's out of control and he needs to be tamed. Or you remember the old Western pictures, you know, Gunsmoke and High Chaparral, and some of y'all are like, what? When they used to go out and they find horses and they would have to tame those horses, they'd have to break them in and bring them under control. Your mind is out of control when it is no longer thinking in line with the Word of God. When your thinking lines up with the Word of God, the Bible refers to it in Romans chapter 12 as sober thinking. But when your thinking is out of control, or the Bible refers to it as intoxicated thinking. Intoxicated thinking is thinking that doesn't line up with God's word. It doesn't line up with God's heart and God's way. And so if you allow your thinking to be governed by fear, and if you allow your thinking to be governed by panic, and if you allow your thinking to be governed by what's happened to somebody else, then your thinking needs to be tamed, or it needs to be bought under the control of the Spirit of God, and it needs to be bought in line with the Word of God. Taming your mind, taming your thinking. This word tame also means to improve through cultivation or through development or through some kind of work. So I don't expect for you to do this voila in one day, but I do expect for a process to begin, to where the first step in this process is that you're recognizing when your thinking and when your mind needs to be bought into control, when it needs to be tamed. See, you have to set your mind and keep it set on the Word of God, just like you set an alarm clock and you keep it set. You have to set your mind on the Word and keep it set there. But now what I'm asking for you to do is to recognize when your mind is not set on the Word and it's been set on something else. If Satan can cause you to not pay attention to what you're thinking, and it just becomes a subtle thing in your life, then there'll be all kinds of things going on in your thinking, and you won't be consciously aware of it. I'm trying to get you to become consciously aware that my thinking is not lining up with the Word, and I need to bring it into authority with the Word of God right now. I need you to become consciously aware that, wait a minute, I've been sitting here thinking about the wrong thing more than I've been thinking about the Word thing, and I need to correct that. But if you can live your life every day and not be consciously aware that your mind has been set on the wrong thing and you're thinking the wrong thing and the enemy's making suggestions and you're considering all those suggestions, you'll find that you have allowed his thoughts to be planted in the incubator of your mind, and they begin to grow and very subtly begin to move into manifesting something that wasn't even real. That's all fear is, telling you a story of something that's not even real. Fear is a lie that somehow you talked yourself into believing it was the truth. And if that thought or suggestion can be planted in your mind and you start thinking about it and not be aware of it, then the next thing you know, the thing you feared the most has come, has manifested, has showed up. And meanwhile, your heart, because you've not been thinking about the Word, has been gradually hardened towards the Word of God. And now the lie looks more real than the truth. And what ends up being valid, what ends up being manifested in your life is the lie when you had the finished work of the truth. Is everybody following what I'm saying? Turn to your neighbor and say, think about what you're thinking about. And that just simply means becoming aware of what's going on between your two ears. And so to tame that mindset, my mind is out of control when thoughts outside of God's word begin to dominate my thinking. And when fear begins to dominate my thinking, my mind needs to be brought under control of the promises of God in order to receive the finished works of Jesus Christ. Now, let's deal with the other part of this objective, taming the mind to receive the finished works of Jesus Christ. I mean, when Jesus on that cross says, "It is finished," that means he's not going to try to do something that's already finished. And then he's done. Healing is a part of the finished works of Jesus Christ. So when you hear or a suggestion from the devil that tells you that, you know, no, you can't be healed because you didn't do this, you didn't do that, or you did this, you did that, you need to cast that thought down and say, no, wait a minute. Healing has already been done. Jesus did not provide healing the day I got sick. Jesus had healing already in place before I got sick. So I am not the sick trying to get well. I am the healed protecting my health from sickness and disease that's trying to rob me of what I already have. I am not the broke trying to become prosperous. I am. See, you got to realize who you are first so you'll know how to fight. See, we're not trying to get victory. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory to victory. We're not fighting for healing. We're fighting from healing to healing. You're not the broke. Yeah, I am. You see, I ain't got nothing. No. You got to receive what Jesus has done, not based on what you see, but you got to do it based on what is. He has finished this work. You are already the prosperous. You are already the rich. You're already the healed. You're already the delivered. Now you're going to have to reach out and take possession of what you already are, not based on what you see. The Bible called Joseph a successful man while he was a slave. Oh, y'all don't hear me. While he was a slave, he was called successful. And because he received that, he went from Potiphar's house to the jailhouse to the Pharaoh's house, and then what he had believed he had received, the manifestation of it showed up because he would not allow his circumstances to define his mindset. He would not allow his mind to be set on what he could see and what he could feel and what he could touch. He allowed his mindset to be set on what Jesus said. And I'm telling you, set your mind and keep it set on the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of what the suggestions are going to be. Are you listening to me? So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this. He says, according as his divine power, that's grace, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, everything we'll ever need has been made ready. Everything you'll ever need has been made ready. It's you getting to a place in your life where you will acknowledge the validity, the truthfulness, the actual reality of the finished works of Jesus Christ. Jesus has already done it. Now he's waiting on you to acknowledge that this is true, this is valid, this is real, that this exists. This is not something that I'm making up in my mind in the fantasy world. It exists. It exists. Now you can't see it and you can't feel it, but it exists, and you don't let go of that. And he's waiting for you to acknowledge this. Notice what comes after acknowledgement. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Notice what comes after that, and he'll direct your path. You acknowledge him, he'll start directing you. He'll start leading and guiding you. See, you got to locate the destination before you plot the route. Y'all don't hear me. But once you begin to acknowledge that this thing is real and this thing exists, it then becomes the job of the Holy Spirit to take you to the place of the realized destination in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all better work with me. The Holy Ghost getting ready to show up here. It's when you begin to recognize this is real. Now, you don't examine the reality of that based on what you can see, feel, and touch at that time. What you do is you say, this is real, this is finished, I acknowledge it's real, I acknowledge it's valid, and then the Holy Ghost now begins to direct you to the destination of what you have acknowledged as being real. So you start talking today, prosperity is real in my life. Oh, it's a real thing. It already exists. Then the Spirit of God begins to direct you down the paths that you'll take. See, he's already prepared paths for you to take. Paths that lead to what kind of life? The good life. But he can't take you nowhere until you have acknowledged the place that you acknowledge as being real. Oh, yeah, I hope y'all got that. By his stripes, I'm healed. And then all of a sudden, you don't feel no different. There's no different diagnosis. But uh-oh, he's getting ready to work now. He's getting ready to place you to the... He's getting ready to bring you to the place of the reality that you have received and that you have taken possession of. And you will not be stopped. Because no matter what happens in that path, when God has designated a path for faith people who have received the acknowledgement of something they can't see right now, you're going to get there. If he's got to carve out new paths, if he got to put a path where there was no path, he's going to get you to the place of your acknowledgement. So I dare you to pick out your destination this morning. I dare you to pick out a destination of the finished works of Jesus Christ and watch the Holy Ghost show up and take you to that place and take you to that destination and take you to that reality. And then there'll come a day where you will say, there it is. Man, we ain't gonna go home right now. I'm gonna tell you that right now. I can live off that. I'm. Woo-wee. Man. Thank you, teacher. That ain't on my notes. If I would, I'd have wrote it down. Everything's been done. It's finished. He would not have put an Adam and Eve in a garden that didn't supply everything they would ever need. Now look at Hebrews chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we trust you, Lord. We trust you. Let me say something that's been in my spirit for the last couple of days. People have been wondering, when we say self-effort, does that mean no effort? Absolutely not. I told you the difference between self-effort and trusting God is all about who you depend on. When I say self-effort, I don't mean no effort. Because you're going to have effort in following the Holy Spirit and doing what he tells you to do. And that's the thing. But you don't have... Self-effort is effort trusting you for the outcome and not trusting God for the outcome. You know we certainly are not talking about just sitting there and just... When the Holy Spirit keep trying to say move, and the Holy Spirit say do this, and the Holy Spirit say do that. Yeah, but if I move, won't that be effort? Y'all know why I'm saying this, right? Because there are people who expect it. No, when I say self-effort, I don't mean no effort. I'm saying that we don't want any of your effort, you depending on you and your work. We want effort that's led by the Holy Spirit depending on Jesus and his work. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So that means if you go to getting out there trying to doing things on your own ability, trusting your own, you're saying, I'm doing this based on what I'm going to do and based on what I know, then I'm going to get this to happen. That's self-effort. But you're saying, you know, the Spirit of God is leading me to do this, and I trust everything that Jesus has done enough to follow him and do what he tells me to do. And God, I just trust you that this is going to be what it needs to be. Because when the Spirit of God starts leading you, what if he wakes you up and tells you to go somewhere that you've not been used to going to? Or what if he tells you to give $10 to somebody you don't even know? Are you listening to me? So that's what we're talking about. I thought I'd just kind of stick that in there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. Now look at verse 3. We're talking about the finished works of Jesus. He says, "For we which have believed do enter into what? Rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world." The works were already finished. Now it's time for you to start trusting God and resting in his finished works. Instead of sweating like a sinner, trying to think you, by your own works, can cause something to happen. But you're trusting in the finished works. Everybody say, finished works.
Finished works.
Of Jesus Christ. That's what you're trusting in. All right? So, how do we look at this? How is the enemy trying to stop us from receiving the finished works of Jesus Christ? Well, let's examine three particular points that the Bible tells us about our adversary. Some things you need to know about your adversary so that he won't play a trick in between your ears and have you thinking something that's not true. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Let's see this first point about the adversary that we need to know about. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Luke 10, 19. Hallelujah. All right, first thing you need to know here. I'm exposing the adversary, so you'll know him when he shows up, and you'll know what to do. Let's read verse 19 out loud together. Ready? Read. "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by in any means." Now, I'm interested in what power the enemy has. Now, if you'll break this word up, the first word, power, is translated authority. So it says, "I give unto you authority to tread." That word tread means to have absolute mastery over something. So it says, I'm giving you authority, and with this authority, you're going to have absolute mastery over your enemy. I'm giving you authority to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power. The second word, power, is translated ability. So he says, I give you authority over all of the ability of the enemy. I'm interested in this ability. I want to know, what ability does my enemy possess? I don't know what he has. Now listen to this in the Amplified. Verse 19 says, "Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample under or upon serpents and scorpions. I've given you authority over physical and mental strengths and ability." Your enemy has something that will infect or affect your mental state of mind. And what is that? Suggestion. Suggestion. Because here's what he says. Jesus says, "I have given you authority over all of the devil's ability to try to mess with your mental capacity. I've given you a..." See, if you can deal with him on that level, you can handle the physical capacity. But if you don't understand what his abilities are, his abilities, according to Revelation 12, verse 10, I believe, his abilities, the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. And the Bible says that he accuses the brethren day and night, working on your way of thinking to try to get it out of line from the Word of God and get you to begin to give attention to his suggestions. And the Bible says you have authority over that. You have authority over all of the ability of the devil, and watch this, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So the lie that the devil will put in your head is that this is going to hurt you. The truth that the Bible's already said in his word is nothing will by any means hurt you. So how many times do you have Christian people waking up all day being afraid that this is going to hurt them? Instead of thinking all day, nothing shall hurt me. But his ability is, I got to keep telling you, this going to hurt you. And what he'll do is he'll use your present situation. He'll use the present circumstances to try to support that wrong suggestion. This is going to hurt you. Look at where you are right now. Now, you got to change some things right there. You cannot allow his suggestions to cause you to look at your present circumstances. Because if you look at your present circumstances, it'll add weight to the suggestion. You've got to know, you just got to know what the truth is. Nothing shall hurt me. And you've got to understand this. As a Christian who believes in the finished work of Jesus, I am not moved by what it looked like. Because the devil's going to always take advantage of what it looked like. In order to get the victory in life, you have to begin to think about what you're thinking about. If you don't align your thoughts with God's word, you'll open yourself up to the deception and all of the lies and the suggestions that come from the devil. Now, if there's a battle constantly raging in your mind, get today's message series, because listen, it's going to change your life forever. It's called Are You in the Game? Winning the Battle of the Mind. It's just the ammunition you need to fight back when the enemy attacks your thinking. So get your copy today.